This is AgriPulse Daybreak for Wednesday, October 29th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Fake meat rises from BC grave. New employer rules coming. No ag officials yet in China talks. And states say law is on their side in a snap lawsuit. Calera and fake meat advocates blast ag industry. Assemblymember Ash Calera of San Jose took aim at the meat and dairy industries during an assembly informational hearing on alternative proteins last week, arguing the sector relies on secrecy, lobbying, and disinformation to block climate-friendly food policy. Calera organized the hearing as chair of the select committee and drew a stark contrast between meat production and other food manufacturing, pointing to slaughterhouses that, quote, don't want us to see the allegedly inhumane conditions inside. He charged that, quote, any other aspect of our food industry does not hide, even if those foods may not be necessarily healthy for you. He cited drone shots taken by activists of swine and cattle facilities and argued this industry does need to be exposed because there's a reason why they don't want us to see more. Alongside environmental advocates, Beyond Meat advisor T.K. Pillen blasted meat trade groups for funding a multi-million dollar ad campaign popularizing the notion of ultra-processed fake meat full of chemicals, a message that has created both confusion and doubt. Remember, Calera has drawn flack from producers and fellow lawmakers for his efforts to use taxpayer money to support research and incentives for alternative proteins when those startups already compete for venture capital dollars. The overhyped segment has also been blamed for artificially driving up VC funding for the food and agriculture sector, which has seen tech investment drop at least 69%. California limits worker repayment clauses. California's newly passed AB 692 bans most employer-imposed repayments known as stay or pay agreements. Under the law, which takes effect in January, employers may not include terms in employment contracts that compel a worker to repay training costs, relocation expenses, or visa and transportation charges if the worker leaves or is terminated. For agriculture, AB 692 forces a review of current agreements that could encompass employers relying on clauses that recoup harvest training, H-2A visa costs, or seasonal recruitment expenses. Now, penalties for violations include a private right of action by the worker or their representative, at least $5,000 per worker to cover damages, injunctive relief, and attorney's fees. The California Chamber of Commerce led the opposition to AB 692, a coalition that included the Dairy Institute, the California League of Food Producers, California Restaurant Association, and rural county representatives of California. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Ag officials are not involved in China talks yet. No ag officials in the U.S.-China trade talks so far. That's according to three people familiar with the discussions. Now, industry figures and former officials say that suggests any announcement this week will reflect preliminary goals without highly specific details.
During the Phase 1 agreement negotiations in President Trump's first term, USDA officials sat in on all 33 negotiating sessions. These included representatives from the Foreign Agriculture Service, China Office, and others. But sources say ag officials have not yet been in the discussions with the Chinese. USDA did not respond to questions about who has been in meetings and whether working-level meetings have begun. It's a much tighter circle, a person familiar with the talks told AgriPulse. Accordingly, two former officials said that they expect any announcement from a Trump-Z meeting on Thursday to focus on purchase commitments to secure immediate relief for U.S. growers. Non-tariff barriers, they said, would likely be addressed later. The absence of ag officials on the talk serves to highlight Trump's approach to trade negotiations in his second term. Deals have followed a similar pattern with the release of a headline announcement before officials began work on specifics and final details. A similar announcement coming tomorrow would be entirely fitting with the cadence of other negotiations, according to one industry source. They said they wouldn't expect ag-specific officials to be involved before negotiations on actual text kick off. There are still preliminary discussions taking place to try to outline what a framework could look like, a former official told AgriPulse of the talks. They hope down the line that, quote, the appropriate experts, trade negotiators, and subject matter experts can get in a room with their Chinese counterparts and hammer out details that would benefit U.S. agriculture. Take note, the Wall Street Journal yesterday reported that the Trump administration is reportedly looking at halving the 20% duties applied to China over its role in the fentanyl crisis as a part of negotiations. Lawsuit over SNAP benefits cites USDA shutdown plan and law. The fight over November SNAP benefits is now in federal court. The law that created the SNAP program says recipients must be provided benefits, even during a government shutdown, according to 25 states and the District of Columbia, filed the lawsuit in Massachusetts yesterday. They also argue that USDA's shutdown plan recognizes that USDA can use a contingency fund to pay SNAP enrollees. The fund has between $5 and $6 billion, the complaint said. That's enough to cover most of November. That plan was recently taken off USDA's website. On October 24th, USDA said it was suspending benefits for November. The contingency fund is not available to support FY 2026 regular benefits because the appropriation for regular benefits no longer exists. That USDA in its October 24th explanation that went to states. The USDA memorandum supplied no legal citation for this legal claim, the state's lawsuit says. Vice President Vance weighs in. J.D. Vance says the Democrats are to blame for the government shutdown. Democrats have insisted. Republicans agree to restore Medicaid cuts made by One Big Beautiful Bill Act and extend a premium subsidy for health care premiums. Vance told reporters, quote, we are trying as much as possible to ensure that critical food benefits get paid, that our military gets paid. But you know what makes it really easy? If Democrats just open up the government. Here's today's final word. Let's be clear about what's happening. For the first time ever, SNAP benefits will not be available to the millions of low-income individuals who depend on them to put food on the table. That's California Attorney General Rob Bonta on the state joining the lawsuit against the Trump administration over SNAP benefits that end Saturday due to the government shutdown. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Wednesday, October 29th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Dowling.